welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and I thank you so much for joining us on Sundays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., Monday mornings at 1 a.m., and then we also stream live at richarddugan.com, as well as archive these programs at richarddugan.com, the radio shows page. We also link to our guests' website so that you can continue to get more information beyond the interview. Also, a reminder that some of these interviews are more than what you hear on the radio broadcast, so you're going to need to go to richarddugan.com, the radio shows page, to listen to what I like to call the afterview. It's beyond the normal 50 minutes that we usually talk. Sometimes we go on for another 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 minutes or more, and which is really kind of nice to be able to continue to get out that information. So we encourage you to go to the webpage where you can find all of the archives going back more than 10 years. A really amazing thing to me. We're going to be talking today about a powerful guide to open your life to the wisdom and the healing of angels. And some of us might say, well, yes, I know. I've got a sister who's an angel. My mom is an angel. My wife. Well, not exactly what the type of angel we're talking about, although that's very nice. We're going to be talking about the lessons from 12 archangels. Divine intervention in daily life. And my guest is the author, Belinda Womack. And Belinda, thank you so much for joining us on the program today.
Thank you so much. It's an honor.
This is something that we haven't really delved into much, although, you know, we're always talking about seeking guidance and inspiration, looking for encouragement, looking for solace sometimes during those challenging times in our lives, the difficult spaces that come along. I read something just the other day that said something along the lines of there are no perfect people, only perfect moments, or something along those lines. And we're trying to string together as many of those perfect moments as we can. But, you know, there are days when it just is really, really hard because we're bombarded by so much. And you have a book here. I'm curious, first of all, can we like to define terms a little bit? What is an archangel, and at the same time, if we can address the difference between archangels and angels.
Sure, Richard. So arch, in the name archangel, according to the archangels, means a bridge. And their role is to help us human beings, going through schoolroom earth, which is a school of hard knocks. They help us to build bridges between our hearts and our heads, which we know that can be a challenge sometimes, and a bridge between heaven and earth so that we can feel heaven's loving support and vibration. So they say that they're not any different than angels. They just have a little bit of a different job title. They are mentors and tutors, again, helping us to get through school. But they say that we all come from oneness, and so they're not into a hierarchical structure where archangels are above angels and angels are above humans. They say, hey, look, we're in this together. We really all come from the heart of God or the heart of the Creator. So, you know, let's don't play, you know, that one has more power than the other. Let's just open our hearts and get the work done. And the work is really about bringing love where fear is, love is the power that transforms fear, and to bring love where it's been missing for a very long time.
Where do the angels and archangels come from? I guess more to the point, how and or who created them and for this very purpose?
So, of course, God created the angels as God created human beings. And so there are many names for God, right? God can be called source. God can be called the universe. And God can be called the creator. But according to the 12 archangels, and that number 12 is actually symbolic, it's metaphorical for cycles. They help us to evolve in our consciousness. And they say that, you know, all angels and all souls, so that means human beings, we all come from the central sun or the central soul, which again is just another name for God. It's just another name for source. We all come from source.
Okay. And again, we have the in essence two levels, but I also I acknowledge also what you said earlier about how, you know, there are 12 archangels, and obviously that's a very symbolic numerological aspect to it, because we have all kinds of different numbers, whether we're talking about the apostles or we're talking about archangels or we're talking about, for example, three. You have the Trinity, if you will, as far as God is concerned, in certain philosophies, the 3 days that Jesus, of course, spent in the tomb and so forth and rose again. And again, all of these other numbers that pop up. And is 12, I mean, can we elaborate any more on this aspect of 12 as something that we can incorporate into our lives in regards to this aspect of the 12 archangels?
Well, absolutely. And if you take the number, you mentioned the number 3. If you take 1 plus 2 in the number 12, that gives you the number 3. So the number 12 is, it also represents or is connected with the 12 signs of the zodiac and the 12 hours on a clock face and the 12 years in primary education. So when we see the number 12, sometimes we see different numbers like 444 or 1212. It means that we are going through a cycle and that we want to hang on and we want to ask for support from our angels, from our higher self, from our creator, from all of our guides in heaven, so that we evolve. And what does that mean? That means that we open to receive, that we open to receive support. Sometimes it can be so hard for humans to ask for support. So that's what, again, that number 12, when we see it, it can remind us we're growing. We really are growing into better human beings. And as we grow, we actually help the entire universe to evolve and to expand. That's how we help Mother, Father, God.
So we are working, in essence, in concert with the archangels. And I know that there are some folks who, they prize their independence so much so, and yet the archangels and or any other forces, if you will, that are out there to help and support and encourage us and so forth through our lives, through humanity's evolution, if you will. They're not saying, you know, do it or die. This isn't, you know, an ultimatum here. They're just wanting to help. I mean, you know, we don't have to follow it, but, you know, I have a feeling that our lives would probably be a little bit brighter and full of more joy if we did.
Well, that's, again, their purpose for helping us, is that they want us to feel that love and support. According to the angels, you know, Mother, Father, God created us human beings very differently than an angel, for example, because we have an ego. And that ego is the part of our amazing humanness that believes we are separate, and we're separate from our trees and our pets and our relatives, but we're also separate from the rest of the universe, and that we're separate from angels, you know. And when our loved ones die, they go to a different place and they're separate from us. So one of the most amazing things about just asking angels to help us, even if we don't believe, we start to dissolve that barrier that says we're all alone. Because when we get caught in that we're all alone, we just make life tougher for ourselves. And when we can just say, okay, you know, just show me if you're for real, if I really have help, then, you know, help me with this or help me with that. And when we start to experience that and the ego starts to actually see it and see that it's grounded, it's not woo-woo, it's real help, then that's when we can, you know, we evolve and we can become more loving. And you're absolutely right, Richard. We can lift up and feel a whole lot happier and receive more abundance. And life overall just gets better and better and better. That's what angels deliver.
Now, you have a myriad of messages within the context of this particular work. And if I'm correct, there are 48 messages from the archangels.
True.
One of them that I just popped open to had to do, and this is what's interesting, and I think it's going to take us into our conversation here. For example, message 7, listening to your intuition. Now, I've jokingly said to folks, both on this program and sometimes in person, that because of my experiences in this, that if you're going to listen to that still small voice or to your intuition, but not follow, why are you bothering listening, you know, kind of thing. And I remember going through a program where they asked us to take this large, maybe foot long by 6 or 8 inch wide or 4 or 6 inch wide piece of white construction paper, black ink pen or Sharpie. And they wanted us to write down a statement. And of course, my mind at that time was on my intuition or listening to that still small voice. So I wrote down that I will listen to, and then in big letters, and follow the promptings of. And I like to use the word of my friend. That's how I phrased it. And it's not always easy because, as you've already stated, you know, we have this ego that kind of wants to run the show. Do the angels or archangels, do they have any tips, if you will, for helping us to not, and this is another thing too, we don't want to circumvent the ego, do we?
Well, no, the ego needs to be included or it's only going to rebel.
Right.
You know, it's a very important part of us. And so what the angels encourage us to do is to breathe and to feel our feelings, because in the part of the brain where intuition lives, it's also the part where we feel our feelings and we can hear our feelings. So when we want to connect with that intuitive truth, that small, clear, quiet voice within that tells us, do we turn right? Do we turn left? Well, what really helps is a willingness to be real. A willingness to feel our feelings so that that emotional energy, that actually feminine energy within us, is clear. And that's what helps us to hear our intuition. And then we'll get a confirmation in our body. You know, like some people get goosebumps, or spirit bumps, they're called. Well, you know, it's the same as feeling that truth in your gut. When you know what the truth is, you feel it. And that's what the angels really want to remind us of, is how important it is for the ego. The ego needs that confirmation. So we need to feel that intuition, and we need to feel it also in our physical body. I hope that makes sense to you, Richard. They tell me you're a very intuitive fellow.
Well, I'm working on it better each day. I've had situations where, and I've shared this on the program also, that I used to bicycle everywhere before I moved to California. I lived in Phoenix and would have to travel. I lived in a trailer at the time, and I think it was a 5-mile bike ride through farm fields, and you know. And I got this impression that, okay, up here at this next corner, you need to turn right and go up a farm, one block, a farm field block. They were pretty large. And then go ahead and turn left, continue on your way to the station. And I ignored it, and I went, I'm going to say halfway. And it got stronger and stronger and would not go away. I turned around. I went back to that intersection and in this case made the left, went up, made the left again, and continued on to the station. I have no idea why I was prompted to do that. I don't know what I avoided. I don't recall coming across anything on that alternate path that I took. But I sure as heck felt a heck of a lot better because that nagging was gone finally. I don't know. Maybe it was also sort of a test saying, look, you know, are you really going to follow or not? You know, it's not like you're going to be late for work. And sometimes we get those. It's like, okay, you need to go ahead and turn right here, go over a block, then go up and then come back out. We have no clue as to why that's happening. But it's to me, it's rather extraordinary that those kinds of things happen to people all the time.
They totally happen all the time. And the more we listen, the easier, again, it is for that ego, which is the same as our conscious mind, to trust, you know, to trust, hey, this is the truth. Why argue with it? Because the intuition really wants to help make life easier. What is it? It is the voice of the divine flowing within us. And the divine, or Mother, Father, God, the universe, source, really wants us to be happy and to live healthier, more fulfilled, satisfied lives. That's our birthright as children of the Creator. So listening to our intuition can help us to do that. And you were protected on that bike trip. You've probably been told that before.
On many of them, as a matter of fact. I don't do so much riding here in Santa Barbara because the roads are much narrower and the vehicles are much larger than they were with these giant SUVs and tanks and so forth. It's just amazing. I walk, or I'll take a trolley or the bus or obviously the car. Yeah, it's and even in situations where when I was working for a station back in Phoenix, and a customer, a client, an advertiser, or a programmer would come in, and they would have this box filled with tapes that they said, oh yeah, this is all the material I want to use in this show. And my first question would be, well, have you timed any of this stuff out to see if we'll get it all in into the half hour that, you know, that you're paying for? So, oh no, I haven't done that. And I kind of shrug my shoulders and kind of roll my eyes a little bit going, oh, here we go again. And when we're finished, we've used everything and it all fit into the half hour. And it's just because, and if it's like once we started the process of producing the program, it's like I would get into that, as they say, into that zone. And it just would, if you will, miraculously happen. Can you talk to us a little bit about the relationship between angels and archangels, and obviously your book is focusing predominantly on archangels, and miracles?
Well, again, Richard, I just want to put it out there that the 12 archangels, you know, they are a team, and they help us to move through Schoolroom Earth, and they help to create our school, and they work with angels all the time, and there's no hierarchy between the two of them. I apologize. My voice seems to be leaving me today, so hopefully the angels will bring it, you know, will bring it back in. So miracles just mean serendipity, right? They just mean those things that happen for us that can be finding a parking space when we know that it's impossible to find a parking space. And miracles can also be that where we've fallen off a cliff and somehow we manage to live. So, you know, the thing that the angels say about miracles is that they happen all the time, and that we are all ready to receive those miracles. We don't even need to so much ask for them, as it's about a willingness, again, to be helped. And I know that that's where we started our conversation, is it so important for us human beings just to say, you know, I surrender, I allow. If there's help for me, then I'm here, I'm ready to receive it. So, you know, I can tell you that my life was saved by an angel when I was just a little child. There are many, that thousands, probably even hundreds of thousands, if not millions, if not every single one of us that has a story of somehow we experience something quite miraculous. Angels help us to open our minds so that we can recognize a miracle as more what it's like. When we recognize a miracle, that's when it's far more likely to let the next one happen.
Well, not to remove any mystery and intrigue and fascination regarding miracles, but I often have thought about many of the quote-unquote miracles that Jesus performed.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding where he came from and how he was, who he was connected with and how and so forth, I thought, you know what? To him, those aren't miracles. That's just him. That's just what he does. That's just his natural state. And that's why he told his followers at one point when they asked him about these miracles, oh, hey, yeah, you guys can do this stuff, but you're going to do greater stuff. You're going to do bigger stuff. And I've heard that that bigger stuff is transforming our lives. That's probably the greatest miracle of all.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So when you began the process of putting this work together, how far back did you have to go in regards to your connection with archangels? And I mean a conscious connection, because again, we're all connected regardless, but not consciously. So how far back did you go? How did all of this begin for you in putting all of this together that now you're here, you are talking with us and talking about the 12 archangels?
Well, when I was a little child, I definitely believed in angels, but I shut that down when I was a, you know, preteen, decided I was going to be a scientist. I was just such a super sensitive psychic child, and it was all just too much. So I remember a big door kind of slamming shut in my head as I tried to really live over there in that logical, rational part of my brain. But then, much to my surprise, you know, this was over 25 years ago, I was working as a biologist in an oncology lab, a pediatric oncology lab, and I had a visit from Archangel Gabriel, who told me that my life and my work was going to change. And it was quite an experience. I thought I had lost my marbles. I call it my out-of-laboratory experience, but just real quickly, the angel came and told me, you know, your work's going to change. And so that's when I started to meet the archangels, because my work definitely did change. And I left my position at the lab, and I started to help human beings transform their old stories, their stories locked within that still cause them pain that they continue to live in today. Well, that's so much what the angels teach, is they say human beings don't realize they keep carrying their pasts around with them. They create their reality with their thoughts and beliefs, and they don't know that they're using their subconscious to do this creation, when what they really want to do is be here now and be in the present and to, you know, open up and allow miracles and allow transformation. So that, you know, I apologize, I got a little off track there, but that's how it all began. And I'm glad I listened. You know, I resisted, but I'm glad I listened. And, you know, they've been my friends and employers for a long time now.
Is it a mistake for one to say that if I listen to and follow at every step in my life the guidance of the archangels, the guidance of my intuition, that my life is just going to be to coin a phrase or to use a phrase, it's going to be a bed of roses. It's going to be great. I'm not going to have any more problems. I'm going to be able to thrive. I don't have to survive anymore.
So, Richard, it is a school. You know, we're still in school, and a Master Jesus, that's what I call Jesus. You know, he definitely had many lessons to learn and many lessons to teach. And we are still here, you know, learning how to open our hearts. I believe that that's what he continues to teach us, is how to open our hearts and how to trust. So as we learn to trust, and we have to learn to trust by going through life experiences, definitely life gets better. I've been working with individuals and couples and families for well over two decades, and they get happier. It does take a willingness to want to be happier. You know, it does take a willingness to value transformation. And to understand that, hey, again, if we're still carrying baggage from the past or even from our ancestry, we want to lift that up to the Creator. That's just another word, a way to say transformation, because it makes space within us. It's sort of like, hey, if you're a storage locker and you've got all these, you know, old suitcases loaded with old stuff, and you let them go. Well, then there's room in that storage locker for love and money and enjoyment and happiness. And so that's really what the process is all about. Yeah. You know, so yes, we do begin to thrive. And that's, the angels say, hey, create heaven on earth. Heaven is a place where you don't suffer, because there's no fear in heaven. So, you know, life definitely continues to get better and better when we follow that intuitive truth that guides us out of our own hell into our own heaven.
And we're going to continue our conversation on that. I will say, too, that I have been very fortunate in my lifetime, and I haven't noticed it nearly as much of late, and I sort of kind of miss it a little bit, but, you know, it's something that has sort of guided me. I've found that as I look back, that I seem to be in the right place at the right time, and it's not even something that I'm consciously doing. The people I come across, the connections that I make, the relationships that I establish, the jobs that I do. I remember there was a year back in 2000 where I was laid off from four jobs in one year. And that seems like an awful lot. And I can joke about it now. I wasn't that stressed about it, but I remember the first two times that I was laid off. I, of course, went to the unemployment office. I filled out all the paperwork. And within 2 weeks, I found another job. So I didn't get a check. So the third time I lost my job due to being laid off, I didn't bother, because I figured, well, look, the first two times I didn't get a check and I got a job in 2 weeks. It's going to be less than 2 weeks and all. And then, of course, it happened a fourth time and so forth. But I also have what they, you know, they call them deja vu moments. And there are lots of different explanations, and I've kind of put my own spin on it. And that is that the universe is basically telling me and reminding me, if you will, you're on the right path. You're doing fine. We're just throwing this up at you to say, hey, don't forget, you know, and that's all that is. It's nothing more than, hey, you're doing all right. You're going in the right direction. So that's how I've looked at those types of little. And as a 7-year-old, I had a day that went like that. I thought I was going to go crazy, because every time I turned around, I was like, I've been here before, and I've never been here before. And it's just been a very extraordinary journey. And we're going to continue our journey with you, Belinda. Belinda Womack, author of Lessons from the 12 Archangels, here on Tell Me Your Story. Fascinating information, divine intervention in daily life. We want you to stay tuned. We'll give you the website, give you her website in just a few moments. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We'll be right back.
me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and we are here with the author of Lessons from the 12 Archangels, Divine Intervention in Daily Life, and her name is Belinda Womack. She is our guest, and we're very thankful that she has joined us here on the program. She is a, as soon as I find what I was looking for, there it is. She is a spiritual counselor who has been channeling angelic wisdom to support individuals, couples, and families for over 25 years, and she is the creator of the 12 Archangel University. And that's rather interesting. I mean, you you say we're in a school, and you created a school, but I'm guessing that that was certainly by the prompting of the Archangels. And there is... That's one of the things that I have found so fascinating about this life. When I was working for the Christian radio station, and of course they said there was only one way to God. You know, there was only one path. That's it. And yet I started doing some sort of processing in my own mind, thinking, well, gee, there's hundreds of thousands of different things that I can eat and drink, a myriad of different educational directions I can go, as well as jobs I can do in different people that I could associate with, and on and on and on. I mean, in every segment of my life, there were just a myriad of choices, which is, of course, what this program is about, providing a myriad of choices. But when it came to spirituality and I'm being told there's only one way, I'm going, that doesn't make any sense. That is totally illogical to me. And that, again, that's part of my ego. I get that. But it seems to have been borne out through 10 plus years of doing this program and interviewing people for almost 40 years about these subjects on spirituality and metaphysics and the higher consciousness and those types of things. Is that where you are coming from too? That, you know, yours is just one of a plethora of opportunities for people to seek and find guidance.
Well, of course, Richard. And you know, what's so beautiful is that we do get to be different and still be connected, cell to cell, soul to soul, ego to ego, and back to source where we all come from. So our way of getting there, or of coming home, as the angels call it, you know, that's, again, one of the beautiful things that we get to experience here at Schoolroom Earth, is to find our own way home. And there's lots and lots and lots of help for that. The angels, you know, they respect, of course, all the world religions. And then they also say that when we are as the little child, right, when we come to the Creator as the little child, then it all makes sense. You know, we don't have to be so complicated or get caught up in all of the rules. And as you shared, well, you know, there's only one path home to understanding God. You know, that's when it just makes it so much more delightful. Don't you agree?
I would absolutely agree. It's interesting too how there are moments in my life of the last few years where my mind goes back to the past, to specifically to people who I have met, and I wonder where they are, what has happened to them. We had such a wonderful connection, and now. And I know that, you know, our sometimes in our life that we have people where our paths will come together and then they'll diverge, and maybe they'll come together again, maybe they won't. And then there are others where our paths will come together and stay together for maybe a lifetime. And yet I think about it because I think about some of the experiences that I had. I still remember this one woman who I met. This was shortly after I had moved out of my parents' house. And we were in a van driving to and from somewhere. I'm not recalling exactly where. And for whatever reason, she asked me to sing a song. So I did. And she liked it, but she had only one thing to say about it. And she says, "But you need to leave more space, more space between the words, between the notes and so forth." Because I was kind of keeping the tone going, I thought, you don't want to have silence. Like in radio, you do not want to have extended silence. You know, it's dead air because, you know, people will tune out. And of course, I thought about that and I thought, well, yeah, that makes sense. Because when I listen to other artists and so forth, yeah, well, they got that space in there. But I think one of the most profound things she said to me, we were having a conversation and I was kind of disagreeing with her. And I said, yeah, but this and that and the other thing. And she says, hold on a second. Do you know where yabbits come from? I said, yabbits? Do you know what they are? And I says, no, I don't know what you're talking about. She says, a yabbit is a creature with long ears and a fuzzy tail. And I have never forgotten that when it comes to my questioning, shall we say, the guidance. Okay, I know you want me to, yeah, but I got to go over there. No, that's a little fuzzy-tailed, long-eared creature. You just feel free to go whatever way you want. But here's the note that says, go this way and life will be good. Our intuition, it will never put us in harm's way any more than the archangels and their guidance or angels, but they may challenge us?
Is that a question?
That is a question.
Okay, so first, I thank you for sharing your story about the yabbits, because that's pretty adorable. So one of the things about intuition and being able to connect with spirit, right, in heaven, whether that's loved ones that we want to communicate with, or angels, or guides, or teachers in heaven, is that it's important to remember that information needs to be grounded in the here and now, and it needs to make good common sense. Some people can believe that they're connected with their intuition when they're actually connected to just kind of the wrong radio channel. The brain works like a radio, and you want to be able to tune in to that clear truth. And how do you know that that's what it is? It's because it feels that way. Mm-hmm. And it feels so clear, and it makes common sense. The other thing that the angels teach, but it's not just the angels that teach this, is that it's going to be guidance that's based on the here and now. You know, what do we need to do right now to transform or to change or to take responsibility for, so that we can bring in what we want or you know, experience greater abundance. And so that's where that intuitive truth really holds us steady. And it will also say, hey, you're wasting your time. You know, you're so in your masculine, and you've got this, you know, mile long things that you think you're supposed to do, when really you need to be right now. You need to just sit down on the park bench, and what you want is going to walk up to you. And again, that's where it really helps us to understand we're going to use our whole brain when we're communicating with the divine, so that, you know, we can trust it. You know, we need to be able to feel the love and the truth as it's flowing in. And we need to be able to recognize when fear contaminates it. Does that make sense, Richard?
It does indeed. I used the analogy in previous programs, and we even did a series in 2014, one program a month on mythology. And because I had brought up this concept from a science fiction television series of one character in particular that, from my observation, expressed and showed at least from a symbolic, if you will, or even metaphorical perspective, how we are connected. And the character in this case was from Gene Roddenberry's Star Trek Next Generation, and it was the Borg. And it was made up of individuals, just like humanity is made up of individuals. And yet as we have been talking here, we're all connected. But not all of us, we don't all have the same task. Yet there is a big picture. We may never see or be aware of what that big picture is, but we just have a sense that there is a big picture. And so, Belinda, your task is whatever it is, and my task is whatever it is. They're not the same. And yet, when we listen to that still small voice, similar to the Borg getting information from, I guess they called it Central Command or something along those lines, we would carry out those tasks for the purposes of achieving the big picture. And I know a lot of people want to know what that is. I'm wondering as I've grown through my spiritual life, and specifically the late 70s into the 80s and 90s, you know, I've gone to and talked with a lot of intuitives and asked questions and even produced radio programs where they would take callers who would ask what seemed like the same questions over and over again, especially about the future, whether it was money or relationships or moving, that kind of thing. Is there any of that kind of information that is really relevant from the archangel standpoint as far as messages and what have you? Or is that taking us out of the very thing that you just spoke of, and that is living in the now, being here in this moment, that whether or not you're going to have wealth and riches or you're going to have a wonderful relationship down the road, that isn't really what's important right now.
So, Richard, what the 12 archangels teach is that those desires are very important, but they remind us that, you know, we are the children of the Creator, and we have the ability to create, and we actually do create our lives into being. We are creating and with our higher selves, our experiences, and we co-create what we attract into our lives. So we are creating our lessons, and we have lots of help with that creation. But they say that what gets in our way that we do not understand, or a lot of us don't understand, or we forget, is that we're using our thoughts and our beliefs to create the present, and that's what we're going to use to create our future. So let's say that you have in your subconscious that you had a, you know, a real tragic, horrific childhood, and your parents were divorced, and that everything that you experienced as a child taught you, you know, I can't trust, I can't be vulnerable, I can't let somebody else in because the adults in your young childhood were not trustworthy. Well, that sets up a belief system that roots like a big tree in us. And then we grow up, and let's say we want to bring love in, but our subconscious is trying to protect us. And it says, oh no, you know, you can't, you, what you're used to is abandonment, so that you stay in control. So that, you know, maybe you have love for, you know, a few months or even a year, but ultimately you're on your own again, because that's what feels safe. That's what we know. That's what's reliable. When you work with the tools of the angels, they're very, very simple imagery tools. You know, you can transform what you experienced as a child. You can reach those beliefs that are in the past that are actually preventing you from bringing in what it is that you desire. So that's where the angels come in. They say, it doesn't do any good for us to tell you your future because you're creating it. We can tell you the potential, mm-hmm. just like any excellent intuitive or psychic, they're going to tell you potential. What the angels do is they help you to transform, to create that space within so that you can actually actualize that potential, that dream that it is that you want to bring in. But you've got to do the work, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah. And I've always felt that when going to intuitives in that context, they aren't going to be telling me anything I don't already know. What I am doing more than anything else, because I hadn't at that point developed my confidence in my own intuition. I was just seeking some confirmation. But even as you say, even this person can only tell me about the potential, the possibility. Because as you say, you know, our present has been created by the choices we made in the past. So what choices are we going to make today that are going to create the future that we want, as opposed to the future that we're going to say, how did I get here? And we tend to say that an awful lot, especially in recent days. We wonder, how did we get here? What went, you know, some people, what went wrong? Well, it's not so much something went wrong. This is just where you are now. And so now what are you going to do? What are you going to do with this? And it's really interesting. Now, can you give us, I'm familiar with, of course, Michael and Raphael and Gabrielle and Uriel and several others. Can you tell us the names of these 12 archangels, or do they all have names, or are they just a collection, if you will, or a collective of 12?
So they have names, but their names vary from different, maybe religious backgrounds or different orientations. So they don't like us to get hung up in their names.
Okay.
So that's why, you know, most of us know they call themselves the celebrity angels. They're trying to be pretty funny with that. You know, Michael and Gabriel and Raphael, they say what's really important here is to know that the number 12 is symbolic, and there are multitudes of archangels and angels that all work together. And so don't get caught up in our names, they say.
Okay.
That's not a big deal. Just know that if you call on angels and you say, I call on the angels of the central sun or the heart of God or the angels of heaven, all that is just saying you don't want any fear in the calling. They're all going to show up. So whether you call on Archangel Michael because you need some truth and justice, or you call on Archangel Gabriel because you need help with communication, they all come. And that's why they say, don't worry about our names. Just know we're going to be there for you.
When it comes to intercessory prayer. I remember someone getting all bent out of shape over, because at the time I was producing a program called the Radio Family Rosary Hour, which was only a half hour long. I always found that fascinating. But they got all bent out of shape because they said, you're praying to Mary and you shouldn't be praying to Mary because it's Jesus that you should be focusing on, and so on and so forth. To which I thought, well, wait a minute. They're not necessarily praying to her, they're asking her to intercede for them. And what's the difference between them asking Mary to intercede versus me asking you, Belinda, to intercede in prayer? Can we ask the angels in that same context? Is that really what we're doing there? Is we're sort of saying, look, I need some guidance here in that respect. I mean, that's really kind of what prayer is. As opposed to trying to, you know, I'm praying for a resolution in this conflict. No, I'm looking more for a resolution in my own internal conflict, and I need help and guidance in doing that.
So, yes. So the angels say, you know, you're not praying to them. You know, prayer really means delivering a message to God, to Source, to the Creator. Again, God has many names. And that, you know, angels are messengers, and they deliver that cry for help to your own higher self lots of times, to your own soul, to help to create that intervention, that synchronicity that helps you to have the gift of insight, or to attract in that external help that you might need. And they say that there are so many loving guides that help. Absolutely, Mother Mary and Master Jesus and Master Buddha and Master Abraham. There are so many. So just remember that, ask. Mm-hmm. You know, just put it out there and say, I don't want to feel like I'm all alone here. I'm in crisis and I need help. The angels say, don't hesitate to call on a divine rescue. You are co-creating that rescue. You're definitely involved. You're not a victim in what's happening, so that, you know, there's a magical safety net. You are calling on that safety net. You are working in partnership with the divine because you are divine. So ask. And when you can't ask, kind of keep an open mind that says, if I'm forgetting to ask for help, please, you know, remind me. It's okay to ask.
Do these archangels communicate to us through other people directly?
Well, sure. Angels and archangels and guides in heaven will communicate in whatever way they need to. That could be through an experience. That could be through a stranger showing up and saying, I don't know why, but I have to tell you this. You know, spirit, again, Mother, Father, God, the Creator, will find multiple ways to deliver a message that we need to hear, and will continue to repeat that message. And I'm sure you've heard and experienced, and the message is going to get louder until we get it.
And this school that we're all attending, there are no grades, and it isn't pass-fail. It's just having the experience and learning from it?
So, of course, there's not a pass-fail. This school is about recognizing fear. And fear is where love has been lost. So it's like the bottom vibration that we can go to. And fear creates separation from our Creator. And then so that looks like suffering. It looks like rage and anger and violence and pain and ill health and poverty and lack. Where love is the vibration of heaven, which is abundance and trust, faith, community, good health, love, prosperity, all those things that truly every little child deserves to experience. And the angels say they always see us as children. They don't see us as grown-ups. They see us as children, that sometimes we get lost in the fear. But that's what we're here to learn, is to recognize, hey, look, I'm in a negative frame of mind, or wow, my emotions have really, you know, kind of fallen down there to the to that resentment and rage level. And so I need to transform them, because they're only going to make me miserable. Fear makes us miserable. Fear is what causes us to suffer. Fear is what puts us in hell, whether that's for a moment, an hour, or a day. Love is what transforms fear. Love is the greatest healing power there is. The angels teach us how to use that power so that it becomes logical, grounded, and easy to remember. Hey, I'm going to choose love. I'm going to work with the power of love. Because fear, you know, it only brings me misery.
Yeah. It's, to me, most interesting to contemplate the abundance of support that we have, both in this world, the 7 billion plus people, but in the other, I don't know if the right word is dimensions or realms. I mean, we use the words heaven and hell, that type of thing. It just seems to me like it's astounding at how much help there really is there. And we don't avail ourselves.
I think sometimes we do avail ourselves. What the angels say is, you know, they get a lot more phone calls when we're in crisis than when things are going well. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, Richard, I feel that that's also what's called being on a spiritual path, is that you learn, hey, life is just, it's a lot better when I allow myself to be supported. And while there is so much support getting through this school, And then we come to it more times than once. You know, the angels say we just keep reincarnating. And sometimes we come because there's something new for us to learn. Or sometimes we come to help others. And it doesn't matter, you know. And very often those two purposes are intermixed. But we're not here alone. And we're doing this education to help the entire universe to evolve. You know, our creator, Mother, Father, God, created this school with the help of the angels. And so it may seem like we're really just this small little dust speck planet, but we are doing this education for all of oneness. Every particle of God's energy benefits from us, you know, silly, miserable human beings recognizing that love is a power, and let's choose to use that power far more often than we work with fear. We make a huge difference, and we're very important. We think we're kind of insignificant sometimes, and that's when the archangels come in and say, you're equal. We're all equal, and we thank you for your service, human beings, because it's not easy. It's not easy work.
I remember standing on the deck of a cruise ship about 20 years ago or more, and it was nighttime, the moon was out, and you could see the curvature of the Earth. And in the same moment, I could feel a certain element or level of significance, but the greater sensation was that of insignificance in that vast ocean that we were cruising through, thinking, you know, if I fell overboard, they'd never find me. And I don't even see land. I don't even know which way land is, you know, that kind of thing. And then, of course, then there's the depth of the ocean that we're traveling across. And yeah, it does seem that way. And when we think about the universe, I mean, my goodness, how it does seem a little, I don't know if it's arrogant on the part of man to think that he's the only other sentient being in the universe. I know that there was a time when we thought that the Earth was the center of the solar system and everything else spun around us. Also, that the Earth was flat. And I've actually heard arguments to that latter part about the flat Earth thing, thinking, well, that does make a lot of sense up to a point. Up to a point. But again, I don't know that it matters that much. I mean, I haven't heard of any. I mean, the only place I've ever heard of planes and ships disappearing was in that area they call the Bermuda Triangle. And I know that's not the edge. But I think, something that we're all trying to grapple with, and that is where we belong in all of this, where we fit, what is our part, what is our role. A good friend of mine and I in high school, we were sitting around talking about this kind of stuff. And I said, you know, I really don't know what my role is going to be in life, whether it's going to be one of these, you know, little things where I'm going to be a little cog doing my thing, whatever it is, you know, and just going through my days and weeks and years and then live my life and die. And that's it, with very little, you know, maybe to show for it. And on the one hand, or if I'm going to be, you know, internationally known and this and that and the other thing. And again, this is years before several years before I got into this business. He says, oh, I already know what my role is. I don't know if I can do it. But he never told me what it was. I don't know if he was playing with me or not. But I thought, you know, I know there are some people who feel like they do know what they have to do. You know, what their, shall we say, their task is, their life's purpose is. And knowing early can maybe be a little daunting. But again, it goes back to what you said before, what the angels have said, that, you know, it doesn't really, at this point, in this moment, it really doesn't matter.
Well, and it will be revealed. Yeah. You know, it's going to be revealed when you're ready. So, right, I was a biologist, and I thought that that's what I was going to do for my life, that that's how I was going to serve. I always knew I wanted to live a life of service. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I had quite a surprise and discovered, oh, I have a different calling. And what the angels say is, you know, when you're called, you're going to be called. And that means that your soul, together with your guides and team in heaven, your helpers in heaven, I call them, you know, they're going to let you know. And just like they did for you, Richard, when you were called to help raise consciousness in the way that you do, in a very powerful way, and they're all very grateful to you. They just want me to let you know that. You know, we will receive that pull, and sometimes it's I call it a violet fire cast iron skillet on top of our heads, if it needs to be really loud. But we're going to hear what our mission is, what our purpose is. But the angels add to that. They say, okay, so maybe you're, you know, going to enlighten people through an amazing radio show called Tell Me Your Story, or maybe you're going to be a surgeon, or maybe you're going to be an inventor. But truly your purpose is to be a happy child. If you didn't have a happy childhood, understand that you get to have that now. So create it. Respond to your heart. Fill up with happiness. Let your life get better every single day. That's really your purpose.
And what a purpose it has been and continues to be on my part. And of course, we're always encouraging people to search out and find their purpose. By the way, there's a passage also where Jesus is quoted as saying come to me as little children, you know. And I've thought about that quite a bit in thinking about the mindset of a child. First of all, the child lives in the now. Okay, until he's taught not to, until he's taught to live in the past and the future, lives in the now, falls down, bruises his knee, bumps his head, cries a little bit, and then moves on. We've all seen this. Little kids, they'll do that. They'll hurt themselves, and they'll get up, and they'll cry a little bit, and then they'll dust themselves off, and they're off playing and having a great time. And I thought, wow, that is pretty neat. And oh, if we could just go back to that, you know, that childlike, not childish, but childlike demeanor. I mean, I still remember those times when my brother and I were in the backyard, to the consternation of my father, digging holes in the yard to play, but still having a grand time. Let me ask you one final question in regards to the lessons of the 12 archangels, Belinda. What came to mind, and as I do this program, I have often been asked to present a set of questions. I never do because I don't know what I'm going to ask because the universe asks the questions. I'm just along for the ride. Perfection. It is said, "Be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." From the perspective of the archangels, what is that perfection?
That we are beautiful, that we are divine, even though our egos and our humanness can fall down into believing that we are miserable and unworthy and full of shame and guilt. Ultimately, our essence is always perfect. And when we return to heaven after each life, you know, we have the opportunity to go into life review and to change what we didn't like on earth. We get to actually continue our transformation until we feel free. You know, that helps those that we left on the earth. And so the education continues until it's really complete. And until we come to that place, even when we're on the other side, now I fully remember. I fully remember, I know, and I trust that I am God's child. And that, yes, I am perfectly divine. And of course, we can do that work right now. We can do it while we are alive, transforming ourselves, going through Schoolroom Earth. We can choose to dive deep into our subconscious and into where we still hurt and bring in the love that's been missing so that we can recognize that divinity right here. Not making us better than anybody else. It actually just makes us far more compassionate and tolerant and understanding. That's what it means to remember who we are and to remember that perfection that created us and that we come from and that we actually never leave.
And because it seems that you are in constant communication with the archangels, is there something that you or they would like to share with us before we wrap up the program?
So let me just take a breath and I'll bring them in. Our message is that we thank you. We acknowledge the courage that it takes for you to live your lives. This is a challenging time for humanity as your subconscious is rising up on a global level, on a collective level, to be purged and transformed so that on this collective level, there's more room in all of you for love so that the reality changes for the better for all concerned. We ask that you take a moment and that you fill up with love, and you fill up with gratitude and acceptance, unconditional acceptance and compassion for your amazing selves. It is by knowing who you are and filling with that respect that you will be much kinder to yourself and to all of God's creation. We thank you. And we are with you. We are always, always with you. So there's your message.
Thank you, Belinda Womack, for sharing that and for sharing with us here on the program from Lessons from the 12 Archangels, Divine Intervention in Daily Life. I have three final questions that I like to ask my guests before we close the program. The first being, who is Belinda Womack?
Oh, Belinda Womack is a human being, filling up with love and practicing everything that the angels teach because, oh my goodness, has it made my life so much better. And I also try to keep a sense of humor, but that's who I am. I'm a server.
What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you are doing now?
Through the work that I am doing, my prayer is to help human beings lighten their load so that they treat themselves better and are kinder to one another and to our beautiful planet, Mother Earth. And for me personally, it is to keep walking on my path, my own personal lesson of understanding what balance is and bringing more balance within me so that I can experience that in my everyday life because I tend to overwork and underplay.
I think that's the case with most of us, yes. And finally, what is your life's purpose?
My life purpose is to love. That is my purpose.
Belinda Womack, thank you again for joining us. The website, if you would like to get more information in regards to whether it be the Lessons from the 12 Archangels or contact Belinda and communicate with her, it is actually BelindaWomack.com. BelindaWomack.com. And we will be linked to your website as well, Belinda, so that folks can easily get there while they're listening to the interview as well.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love Talal.